And do our scripture reading while you're standing. Turn with me to the book of Psalms tonight, chapter number 44. And I'm telling you, there's one thing that has stood the test of time, and that is the old King James leatherback Bible. When that thing was canonized and put out there as the Bible for the English-speaking people, being the seventh completed language, I'm telling you, that old thing has stood the test of time. They've written new versions of it, and they've tried to make it more politically correct, and there's even a gender-neutral Bible now that's took out any reference to God being a father. You think I'm crazy? The truth. And I'm telling you, there's such a heresy being preached and taught in this world. My friends, you better anchor down and you better hold on. This thing getting ready to get exciting. For those of us that are saved by God's grace, it's getting ready to get downright exciting. It's an exciting time to be on the winning side. You say, boy, you mean there's two sides, a winning and a losing? The way I look at it, there is. If you go to heaven, to me, that's a winning side. I mean, and if you go to hell, that, my friend, would be a losing side. I don't know how else to put it, but I'm thankful by the grace of God I am on the winning side. I'm on the side that is truth and right. Not in myself, but in Christ Jesus. I am upright at heart because of what he did on the cross of Calvary. So tonight we'll read our scripture. We're going to read about 8 or 10 verses here. Probably read about 8, may go on down to about number 13. But as the Lord is my helper, I want to help you tonight. And I want you to that are here tonight, I kind of wish all my parents were here tonight. I know Brother Brian and Kim Ford's not able to be here tonight, and some others, but I wish all the parents could be here tonight because we have a mandate from God. We have a challenge from God, and we have a divine mandate from a heavenly court for to leave this next generation behind us a little bit to glean on. I mean, throw out some handfuls of purpose for them that would be gleaning behind us. Sometimes I think we try to pick it clean. We want to make sure for selfish reasons we don't leave nothing in the field. And brother, it's not all mine. It should be all ours, but it should be able to overflow. And you ever heard that old song, Drink from your saucer? You can't drink from your saucer unless your cup overflows. And that's the way that the scriptures speak to us tonight. You want to be leaving something for Alexi and Preston. And bless God, we've got a mandate from God, and you'll see it right here on the very first few verses of this scripture tonight. But the title of the message tonight is, Will We Ever Learn? I wonder if we will. Now listen, this, Brother John, look back through there. Brother Danny, y'all look, this place is full. On a Wednesday night. Brother, keep a look. There's churches that would love to have that on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And here we are blessed with this great crowd on a Wednesday night. My prayer is that God blesses every one of you. Let's read our scriptures and then we'll just bring a message. It's, will we ever learn? We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days and in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither by did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, thine arm, and the light of thine countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that which rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and thou hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. Brother Danny, would you ask God to bless us, my friend? Amen. If we were running a 440 relay, in that 440 relay, what is the critical points in that race? What? Who said it? Right there it was. It is that critical point between the runners where that baton is passed. That's where the entire race will be won or lost. is in that the passing of the baton. That baton is a device about this long. And that device, Brother Kim, when the runner's running, he's going and he's just going as hard as he can go. But then before he ever gets to the mark, the other runner, brother, has already started running. And he takes off and he starts running and he gets to the pace, if he can, to that other runner. And then they pass the baton one to the other. And then he takes off on his leg. And then he goes, and Brother Tam, before he gets to the next one, that other runner, he's got a box within to work, with which in to work. And he takes off. And it's during that passing of the baton that that race will finally be won. Am I right or wrong? I mean, that's the way that works in a relay. Well, whenever I came here almost 11 years ago, if you'll remember that first directory that we put out, there was a thing about the passing of the mantle, or the passing of the baton, if you will. And what it was some similitudes from that of Elijah passing a torch down to the younger protege by the name of Elisha. And I looked at that, Brother Tam, and I got to thinking how great that this church has stood the test of time, as Brother Scott drew up to sing tonight. The test of time has been challenged, and it has been, Brother Tam, this church has stood that test of time. There are churches, and I promise you, Miss Karen, that if you drive around Wilkes County tonight, there are some churches that the lights are not on tonight. They just didn't have service tonight, and they have determined that there's not enough interest in their community, or not enough interest in their membership, or even as the preacher preached on Sunday night, there's not enough fellowship among the believers in which for them to come in and even have a service this evening. And Brother Troy, the place is dark, the heat's turned down, the lights are off, and there's nobody there. And then you would drive around, you'd probably find others, and there would be just a scant few people there, maybe just a handful of true, loyal, divine, Holy Ghost, God-filled saints of God that have met for one purpose. Maybe they're just praying for their own community. Maybe they're praying for their own church, but they're few in number. I challenge you to go anywhere else in Wilkes County tonight, except about two or three other churches, and find this kind of a crowd. You'll probably find them out over at Bethel, maybe up at Cherry Grove, maybe over here at Pleasant Grove, or somewhere. There are still some people where people love the Lord. But it was during that passing of the mantle, or that passing of the baton, that this church became in a very critical, a very, if you will, time, brother, that could, that Satan could come in. Because it's during that time that if the baton is dropped, or if there is a problem with the passing of that mantle, or torch, or baton from one to the other, that's where the devil can come in and have an occasion to disrupt. Let me tell you, Brother Tam, we're way beyond the mantle. We're way beyond the torch passing. We're way beyond the baton. And bless God, if we're not running hard by now, what are we going to be? When are we going to do it? Where are we going to do it? Who are we going to do it with? But you know, Brother Tam, I've already been here 11 years. I'm a 30 into what your daddy, almost a 30 into what your daddy stayed. And if God leaves me here for another 20 years, I'll still be a young 70 years old. Brother, and I find that to be young. I look around and you know, people my age, you know, I used to think that people in their 40s were old, and I'm now in my 50s, and I think y'all are a bunch of youngins. You 50-year-olds, y'all just kids, and you 60-year-old, Brother Tam, you're just now starting to hit that hometown stretch, brother. You're running hard in the 60s, and I don't look at 70 as even being old. But Brother Tam, is there a generation? Is there a Christopher? Is there a Preston? Is there a Troy? Is there a Christopher? Is there a Ryan? Is there somebody that we can instill enough God in and teach them about the things that matter? I'm not talking about keeping fine facilities, but we should keep fine facilities. I'm not talking about keeping the bills paid and the grass cut. We should do all that. I'm talking about keeping this place holy, keeping it on the right track. Now, in this passage of Scripture, you're going to find out that they start out, and you hear from God right off the bat. Look how this thing starts off in the hearing of God. It said, "We have heard with our ears." That's no other indication except that this psalmist writing this tonight has says, we've heard from heaven. And bless God, we ought to be able to hear from heaven once in a while. How imperative is it? How important is it? How necessary is it, Brother Tam, that one generation gets the next generation ready to receive what God's getting ready to do in their own generation? Brother Tam, you're not fighting for those 10-year-olds right now. Bless God, what was your prayer last week? You said, Pastor, and can I tell this? He said, Pastor, my heart right now is knit toward heaven. helping other people like myself that's maybe battling cancer or something. So what's he saying? He's saying, I've got some people I want to help. You're not running back there and saying, give me Samuel, give me Levi, give me this or that. You said, I want to help my own. I want to help the people that I'm going through. Bless God, and that's kind of the way this thing works. And I'm right now being your pastor. I'm trying to minister to the aged. I'm trying to minister to the youth. But there's one thing for certain. Satan does not like what we're doing here. And he does not like that one iota. He's going to put a bullseye on every single one of us. And bless God, we better do what this crowd right here has said. They said, we have heard with our ears our God. Your fathers have told us what work thou didest in their days. Bless God, we ought to remind people once in a while that how good God was back then is how good God can be today. Don't just tell them how good he was back there, but not remind people that he's still the same God today as he was back there. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. So if we sit back and we only preach about how good God was back up at the old place, and we only preach about how good he was at the old church, in the old rock church or the old brush arbor, if we only preach about how good he was there, we're going to leave these kids scratching their heads saying, man, I wish I lived back then. Bless God, he's the same today. And he can do for you today what he did for them back there. He can do for us today what he's ever done before. And that's the way I want to hear it. That's the way I want to preach it. He's still God. He's not changed one lick. He's not lost any power. I got to thinking. I heard somebody, it wasn't Brother Chris, but heard somebody talk about how the devil messed up everybody's plans the other Sunday. And you hear everything in the secular world. A lot of churches didn't have service. Why? Because of the ice. And the devil messed up them Christians' plans. No. The devil, the last time I checked, Miss Jan, does not control the weather. Am I right or wrong? Unless God give him the power to create an ice storm, to me, the Bible said that the wind blows where it listed. God above's the one blowing the wind. God's the one that directed him. God's the one that put him in this boat. And he's the one that created the storm. He's the one that said, go to the other side. He went up on the mountain to pray, and then he stirred up the sea and come walking on the water. He's the one that did all that. He's the one that calms the sea. The Bible said, to what manner of man is it that the sea, even the very weather, the winds, and everything obeys him? That's God. He didn't relinquish that power to Satan. And I guess Satan messed up all you Christians' plans. You didn't even get to go to church. But it's God, if we didn't get to go to church, I'd still have church because I'm part of the church. We are the church. But in this, the hearing of heaven is where we're starting out tonight. Have we learned anything? Did the forefathers, did Brother Feldman, and the one before him, and the one before him, and the one before him, and as Brother Steve mentioned Billy Sunday in their prayer room tonight, did we learn anything? Have we learned anything as we go forward? You know what I've learned, Brother Tam? Every generation loses something. Every generation loses just a little something. I asked the prayer room tonight, and Brother James and Brother Dennis and some of those men of God that have been there, and they've been in battle. They stormed the jungles of Vietnam, and they saw some of those things. The greatest generation that was considered that age of the World War II vets, and those that come in, and like I said, with guts and gall and God's glory and a good wind behind them, they stormed the beaches of Normandy, France, and liberated the people that had been occupied. You couldn't find 10 people right now to stand up and go to bat for anything or anybody. Why? They'd have to take out their near earrings, nose rings, take off their silk bloomers and everything else. Brother, you ain't got a people that'll do anything today because they're so feminine. The Bible said they will become effeminate, and they're not, you call it now, toxic masculinity. But Tim, there's a problem in today's society with people being what God made them to be. Brother Gary Badgett, you're going to stand before God as a male. You're not going. I don't care what gender you claim to be or what surgery you have to change you. You're going to stand before God for who you are. But every generation, we give up a little. Will we ever learn? I mentioned this too in the prayer, and then I'm going to get right back to the message. Some of the saddest news that I had ever saw or heard was yesterday. My niece will be induced, I guess, on Tuesday, honey, if you don't have the baby before. What time is your appointment, sweetie? 5:30 a.m., you will be induced. Do you realize if she was in the state of New York at 5:20, she could go have that baby aborted? You said, but preacher, her appointment's Tuesday at 5:30 a.m. Do you realize at 5:20, 10 minutes prior to the inducing, she could go in and say, I don't want this baby anymore. And it would be legal in the eyes of man. Not so much would it be legal, but the state of New York that made it that way lit up the top spire on the Empire State Building. You're shaking your heads because you saw that. Lit it up pink to celebrate the anniversary of Roe v. Wade and the decision that made it legal to kill your own child. I also said this in the prayer room. If we were, and I don't mean to be graphic or gory, but if we were destroying little baby puppies in the same manner by pulling their little heads off, and you look at you, did you hear the collective, That's the collective sigh when you hear about somebody taking a little puppy and plucking its head off and throwing its little cranium away and pulling out a leg. And, yeah, that's terrible, preacher. Don't talk about that. They're doing it to human beings under the guise that it is proper and right. And we sit back as a nation just as quiet, just as dry-eyed, just as almost flippant and uncaring as we can be about it. And I'm telling you what, my friends, every generation gives up a little bit. Will we ever learn? Look here, I'm preaching right on through here. You can hear from God in those first two verses. If you'll look in verse number one, it just says, we have heard with our ears. And it goes down through there. It said, our fathers told us the works that God had did in the back in the times of old. And then he goes right in to say what God had done. And it said that how that they did drive out the heathen with the hand. I'm telling you what, bless God, we ought to be driving out the heathen. You say, well, how are we going to do it? With our sword? They said, neither did we do it with our sword. We did not do it with our bow. But what did they say? They said, we give ourselves unto Almighty God, and he hath done it for us. Is that not what the scripture said? Read along with me whenever you get down to about verses number 3 and 4. We did not do it with a bow. We did not do it with a sword. We won't do it with an AR-15 or an M-16. We won't do it, Ryan, with muscle or might nor missiles. We won't do it with that. We won't do it with any kind of armament or power or great naval ships. We won't do it with an atomic bomb, Brother John. But bless God, we'll do it on our face before a thrice holy God. And whenever we get serious with God, he might get serious with us and start hearing our prayers. Here's what it says. He driven them out with a hand and planted them. How then did thou afflict the people and cast them out? First off, you're going to see down through there the hearing of God. And bless God, we need to hear from God. And then in those second and third verses, you're going to see the help of God. And bless God, if we ever needed God as our helper, Brother Chris, it's the day and hour in which we live in. We need the help of Almighty God because we can't do this, my friends. Brother James and Brother Dennis and you other veterans here tonight, Brother Gary and Brother Steve, I had no idea you were a Marine. When I look at you, you don't look like a Marine, but they tell me once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. And I understand that, but you don't fit the model of a Marine. But bless God, we everyone could get together and put together some ragtag army tonight. All of us veterans together. You know what we'd be against the enemy of Satan? We'd be nothing without Almighty God. I don't care what kind of power we thought we had. Grab your guns, boys. We're going to set up a militia. We'd do better fighting, Brother Dennis, on our knees before that holy God. But don't we need the help of God? Look what it said. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. Israel had gone into some hostile territory, but bless God, even as they would go, God would go before them and he would fight their battles for them. I'm talking about just march around on the seventh time, blow the trumpet down. How did that happen? That's God. You said, I thought they had a great big wrecking ball. Knock that thing down. No, blew the trumpet. God did the rest. God's strength and his power has always been on display. But I'm afraid sometime, Brother Chris, we just totally underestimate God. We limit him, put him in a box and think that if he's able, he could do it again. Yeah, he could. And I would to God that he would. But he's going to have to get us to a place of believing in a place of hearing from heaven. The first verse said that they heard from God. The second talks about how that he helped them in their time of calamity. And that he talks about how that he protected them. And then in verse number 3, you're going to find out how that he provided for them, because it said, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword. I mean, God was protecting them. Neither did they their own arm save them, but thy right hand of thy arm and thy light of thy countenance, because thou hast favored them. The only reason they prospered, the only reason they won, the only reason we will ever win, the only reason we will ever gain any advantage back from Satan is because God is in our favor. He is on our side. Do you believe that? We have to believe that. God loves us. Brother John, God, Almighty God, Omnipotent God. I'm talking about all powerful, all holy God. He loves us. He does. But yet we seem to give place to Satan. I don't understand why we do it, but we sure do it. Keep going on down through there. This generation needs to understand that as God provided for them in the wilderness, he'll provide for us today. As he protected them in the wilderness, he'll protect us today. Everything that he's done before, he will do today. And get a load of this. Not just about provision and protection, but it's also about destruction and discernment. Brother Chris, did God or did God not destroy two cities by the names of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the reasoning behind the destruction of those cities? It was sin, but more specifically, it was immorality. It was sexual sin. It was homosexuality. Look up the word sodomy if you'd like to so choose and find out what the root word of sodomy is. It goes back to an old Hebrew city by the name of Sodom that got destroyed by an omnipotent and holy God because of homosexuality. And God, if he did it then, Brother Troy, could very well do it now, and he will do it now. He's not, Brother Tim, going to just come down and rain fire on the city as it is right now, but bless God, he's going to rain fire down in his time. He's going to get us out of here before that, thanks be unto him. But he did it before. I promise you, he's not going to give a pass to those that are doing this mess now. It's not. He's not. I'll be honest with ourselves. He destroyed, Brother John, he'd have to resurrect them, dig them up, excavate them, and apologize to them for destroying them if he's going to let this crowd running around today get away with their sin. They're not getting a pass. They may think they are, but they're not. So you see God as the helper. Right here is probably where the next few verses is where we will be for the remainder of the night. The psalmist then says in verse number 4, we sing that song in the choir, that's my God and I love him. That's my Jesus. This right here starts out, says, thou art a king? No. He said, thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name we would tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long. If we can boast in anything, Paul said, I can't boast in anything except for God. In him alone is anything worth boasting of. And Brother Chris, that's the only thing we've got to brag about, is that, bless God, we ain't going to hell. We heard a preacher, Brother Chris, and some of them know who I'm talking about. We heard a preacher for 20 minutes, and I ain't a lying. It was at least 20 minutes. If I'm a lying, I'm a dying. For 20 minutes, you were there, Brother Kim. He said, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. And for 20 minutes we heard, you're going to hell. And it just kept going. You're going to hell. And for 20 minutes, you're going to hell. And I'm telling you, after 20 long minutes, that's a long time of here, you're going to hell. How much better would it be for somebody to say, you don't have to go to hell. You said you're criticizing that preacher. No, I'm saying this. But God, we don't have to go to hell. And you don't have to go to hell. Why? Because God hath prospered us and given us a way out through the cross of Christ. Look what it said. In God we boast all the day long and praise his name forever. How about that song the youth choir sang? I'm not going to hell. Bless God, I'm not going to hell. Thanks be unto him and his unspeakable gift. So I want to look tonight on this latter part, the heritage of Almighty God. I've talked about the hearing of God, the help of God. And I'm talking about the heritage. We owe it to Elena Grace. We owe it to Mara and Jake and to Miss Haley and Nathan. We owe it to Savannah and Brooklyn. We owe it to Levi and Connor and Sawyer and Clay. We owe it to Addie and Aubrey. And we owe it to these kids. Brother Ryan, we owe it to them that they can come into a place of worship someday and they too can hear the grace of God expounded. I mean, shouted out. And bless God, the songs of Zion permeating the walls with urgency and fervency, saying, bless God, there is a God in heaven. There is a fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Bless God, brother, we ought to be singing it and shouting it and praising it. Why? Because someday, and as I said earlier, we lose a little bit every generation. Someday, Brother Kippy, you're going to be saying, boy, I remember back in the early 2000s and latter 2000s. Man, bless God, we used to have some powerful services down there. How God used to show up and meet with us and people be a slinging snot and wiping tears and the altar would fill up and people getting happy and testifying. Don't ever let them say that in a past tense. We're always losing just a little bit. Will we ever learn? Will we ever learn that what we're giving up is the most precious stuff? We're not giving up just stuff. We're giving up the precious. I'm looking around and I'm no longer seeing some of them old saints of God. You know, I'm looking around and I know many people here always refer to Minnie Blackburn as one of the shouters. And I still see Hobart sitting over here, honey. I can still see Mac sitting over here. You know what I'm talking about. And I can still see Brother Earl back there and Brother Lester back yonder. And I can still see Brother Burl with Miss Laura. I can still see Brother Woody just a few weeks ago sitting right here. Now Brother Woody's at the house. Brother, we're losing stuff. And what we're feeling back in these pews. Sometimes I wonder, Brother Charles, have we been in the presence of God like they were? I wonder, have we been where they've sat? Talked about that greatest generation. They come through trial by fire, Brother Tam. I'm talking about the old Cecil Hoopers. I'm talking about those old men of faith, the old Garfield Gambles and Campbell Cox, those old men of God that would just rear back and yell and preach and spit and stutter and stammer. Miss Jan, I mean, scare you to death. You ever heard anybody preach and make the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Brother Tam, you ever remember them preachers? You know, I know you did. Your daddy was one of them. Scare somebody to plumb to death. You said, well, did they? I'm telling you, as a young man, Brother Grant, sometimes I leave her scared to death. If that rapture come, I'm going to get left behind. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of preaching. Where's that preaching at? This generation coming up behind us. Look what it said in verse number 4. Thou art my king. O God, command deliverances to Jacob. When we pass our faith from one generation to the next, is it going to produce the same boldness? Is it going to, Brother Chris, is it going to produce that same urgency? Or are we going to lose a little bit like we do in every other facet of society? I think we're losing a little bit of it. I do. What books do you read? Do you read modern books, Brother Chris? What books are you reading? What kind? Old books. Who am I always referring back to? Who's Brother Woody always quoting? He's always quoting Spurgeon. Steve's referring to Billy Sunday. We're referring to D.L. Moody. We're referring to somebody from the 16th century. I like to read old Henry's commentaries, or I like to read this, or I like to read that. Brother Tam, how come there's no modern books of power filled with urgency? Where's the Ravenhills? Brother Chris, where's that? Where is it at? I'm telling you, we're losing it from one generation to the next. Will we ever learn? I wonder if we will. Sometimes it's downright scares me as to how much we've relinquished and given up in the short period of time. Generation after generation after generation, we give up stuff. I mean, I would to God that he would give us a generation. I'm seeing it in some of you, and it still remains in a lot of us. But I still see that some of us are just kind of cooled off a little bit. The preacher that preached here Sunday night, some have said, I don't know, he was a little strange, a little different. Some have said, man, I really loved him. Brother Dean said, I love that preacher. Some of you said, I loved him, get him back. And others said, I don't know, that guy's a little funny. He was an evangelist. He's not from here. He didn't tell a lot of stories. He didn't have a lot of humor. He just got in the Bible and started plowing. There he goes, and he left about as quick as he come. But he preached on something that we need to hang on to. He preached on fellowship. How many of y'all have ever heard the story? It's very cliche to say, but he talked about the embers and the embers in the fire pit or the fireplace or the wood bonfire. And Brother Tam, you take the tongs and they're all right in there in the middle, all heaped up and glowing bright and glowing bold, and they're glowing hot. And you take the tongs and you reach in and you grab one single ember. And you set it over here by itself. While the rest of the embers are blazed up hot and they're fiery red and there's heat produced off of them coals, and each one of them is just flamed up and hot. What happens to the one that you just plucked out by your brand and set it over here on the side? It cools down, and not only does it cool down, it stops producing heat. And not only that, it starts to get this white ash around the outside of it. Brother, in all essence, that flame is dying. That kernel, that piece of coal, that piece of wood, that ember in itself, Brother Troy, is now cooled off. It's sitting over here, covered in ash, dying on its own. But you know what? To make that thing do what it did earlier, all you've got to do is simply take your tongs, reach over there and pluck that Gary Badgett up and pick him up and set him right back down in the middle of the fire. You know what happens? Almost instantaneously, it picks up the heat from the other embers. And you know what? With just in a second or two, Brother Troy, that thing's glowing just like the rest of them. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to heat this thing up a little bit. And we need to make sure that we bring the kids in real close to the fire. And bless God, we need to just scrooge up real close to them and let them see, Brother Robbie, that this thing is real. Let Valak see that it's real, Brother Dane. Keep him close to the cross. And my goodness, friends, every single one of you, if you feel yourself starting to cool down a little bit, you start to feel the ash of life come on you, Brother Steve, and you just don't feel that fire anymore, and you know that you're starting to get a little bit callous, and you know that you're starting to cool down, and the urgency and the fervency to see souls saved is not there anymore, Brother Tim. Bless God, get along with God somewhere and jump right back into the middle of that fire and start glowing again for God's glory. Will we ever learn that we need each other? I need y'all. I'd like to think that you need a pastor, and it just happens to be me right now, but I would like to think that you need a pastor, not just a pastor. I'd like to think that you love your pastor, the one that God's given you right now. I'd like to think that, because we need each other. I'm telling you, I'm preaching about heritage right now. How many of us have ever had an old church? Raise your hand, I'm not talking about moving from one church to another. I'm talking about being a part of a church, and then that church either tore down an old building or maybe expanded or built another one. Right here's a couple. If you don't know what they're talking about, go up on Buckwheat Road, up on Long Bottom Road and drive up through there. As soon as you make that first bend, look over there in the middle of Stamper's Junkyard. There's a little white wood frame building over there on the right. And it's covered up right now, surrounded by all these old junk cars and stuff. But that's the old Mountain Valley Baptist Church. A junkyard in Kudzu was encroaching upon it. And there was some forward-thinking people back then said, hey, let's buy some land to get out of this junkyard. And they went over on Cane Creek Road, and they built a church over there. Beautiful church now. It's a church I used to pastor. But, Brother Kim, how many times did we ever hear about, boy, up at the old church? Did y'all ever hear that? Did you ever heard that somewhere? I mean, I'm not talking about just at Mountain Valley, but probably here. Huh? You remember that, Little Calvary? She's talking about a little Calvary. Brother Larry, you ever remember you come up through the tabernacle just like I did? How many times you ever hear him talk about, boy, over at the old church? You know where the old church is at? It's over on the old cemetery road, the little white building over there on the side of the road. Man, Brother Tam, they talked about that thing. I was a part of that church for probably better than 20 years. And Brother Tam, they always talked about that church. Man, back in the old days, over at the old church, they'd throw them windows up, people stand on the outside, bless God, they'd be singing and shouting and wiping tears. Sometimes we wouldn't get out of there till 1 o'clock in the morning because everybody's shouting and singing. What happened? Will we ever learn? Will we ever learn? What happened? They're living back yonder. Hey, Ravenhill wrote a song. Ravenhill wrote a book. Ravenhill did all this. Ravenhill's dead. Ravenhill's gone. Are you the next Ravenhill? You're shaking your head. No, you don't have to be Ravenhill. You can be Brother Christopher Shoemade and do greater works than he. In the latter part of Spurgeon's life, Spurgeon's eyesight was gone. If you don't think Spurgeon wrote, you ain't reading. Go downstairs and look. Spurgeon's got volumes and volumes and volumes of books. There's a trilogy of David by Spurgeon down there. It's Psalms. And I'm talking about the voluminous works, but they're big old books, full. But you know what happened later in his life? His eyesight started going. You know what? His wife started writing. Old Spurgeon was a talking and his wife was a writing. Next thing you know, they still preserved and did works for God. But that was back then. I think we're losing a little bit. Every generation seems to do that. I wonder what our generation is declaring. Is our generation declaring that we've given up? Is our generation declaring that there's no hope? It's helpless, preacher. I've read the Bible, and the Bible said that in the latter day there'd be a great falling away before the coming of the Lord. Brother John, I know that, but he ain't back yet. Did he say, sit down on your silent haunches and do nothing till I come? No, he said, occupy until I come. Do business. We ought to get busy for God. Verses number 5 and 6 said, through thee we will push down our enemies. I think it's about time we took back what Satan is trying his best to shove down our throats. I don't know how to do it. I'm not leading the charge. I don't know what to do except that we've got the greatest arsenal, and that's the power of prayer. I used it tonight in opening up our prayer room. We enter into our closet, and we pray in secret. And that God that hears in secret shall do what? Reward thee openly. I believe that he can. He said he would. Living in this old modern world of faint-hearted believers that come as you are, apathetic, careless about people dying and going to hell. They just, honestly, we're living in an age and a generation that I believe the fight's just about gone. I do. I believe the fight's almost left us. You said, well, preacher, we're not supposed to be brawlers and fighters. I'm not talking about that kind of fight. I'm talking about taking the fight back to Satan. Amen. I'm telling you what, Brother Tim, he's after marriages. He's after homes. He's after your children. I got to talk about it one day at work, and I don't care if you put this on the internet or not. Let it go on there. You'll know what we talk about at work. I got talking about the other day at work about everybody in there, how they all had tried marijuana at some point in time. And I said, I ain't never tried it. I tried it twice and made me sick. Well, I tried smoking it. It didn't work, so I just put it in brownies. All this bunch of junk. Where's the locker room talk? Where's the water cooler talk? Where's the talk about how good God is? Where's the talk, Brother Tambat? Man, you wouldn't believe the service we had Sunday. Lord have mercy. You just wouldn't believe it. Well, God just showed up. Oh, you talk about Cheech and Chong, and you talk about this and that, and it's just, I wonder sometime, will we ever learn? I wonder, will we ever learn? Thou hast saved us from our enemies, verses number 7 and 8. Put them to shame that hated us. And God would boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. I'm not going to ask you, because if I did, it would embarrass some of you. But I'm going to ask you, but I don't want you to acknowledge me. Do you pray together as a family? Do you once in a while just get your wife by the hand, whoever you are, and say, we need to pray about this? Do you ever do that? Do you as a family, you don't have a wife, you don't have a husband, but do you as a family ever just get along with God and say, come on, it's time for a family prayer? If you don't, you should. Brother Tam, do you ever just get Miss Jan and say, honey, we need to pray about this? Do you have a war room? Do you have a place? Do you have an appointed time that God would meet with you? God had it in the early Bible, did he not? Did he not have a time that he come and talk to Adam every day? You better believe he did. Set aside a time and say, God, I just want to talk to you. Do you pray privately or do you just pray corporately? Whenever I say, Brother Troy Behrens, how about open us up in Scripture and a word of prayer? And there you go and you pray, and then you don't pray again until 3 weeks later when Brother Chris says, Troy, would you dismiss us? That's the only time you prayed? I hope you're praying more than that. Will we ever learn what this book says? Will we ever learn? I wonder, Brother Scott, where are you at, son? What are you doing over there? Miss Macy, come up. I want to do two things tonight. On the first verse of the song, if anybody needs to come that needs to be saved, anybody that needs something from God, I'm talking about to rededicate their life. Just get along with God and maybe help Him to increase your prayer life. Anything that you need. Because after the first verse, I want everybody that will and everybody that can would join me tonight. We're getting ready to lose one. And that being Sister Jean Potts. If you don't know that, Sister Jean was told today that she might have a day or two. I was down at lunch, and then I went back right before church. And I can tell a difference between lunch and supper. Miss Jean's on her, almost, she's almost at the door. You say, oh, how sad. It's sad for Miss Shelby. It's sad for Brother Potts. But I'm telling you what, can you imagine what she's getting ready to see? Can you imagine what she's, I'm talking about, we might get there before her. You might pull out in front of something up here at the end of Boone Trail and Pads Road and go right now. I could fall out right now. But as it is, and time goes on, she'll be in the presence of Almighty God face to face very soon. My friends, I'm telling you. But I want you to come up and pray that the Lord will receive her, not just her, but Brother Raymond Marlowe. That family's prayer changed from a prayer of healing to a prayer of passage, saying, Lord, just receive him. Take him out of this body of pain. Also, Brother Woody needs our prayers tonight. Miss Cletha needs our prayers tonight. And a host of 1,000 others just like them. But on the first invitation, I ask you this.